Good morning and happy Sabbath to you all. I'm just going to have a prayer. Let's bow our heads. Our dear loving and eternal Heavenly Father, I come to these dear folk, my brothers and sisters in Christ, to give them a message, dear Father. I don't come as a seasoned preacher, but use me, dear Father, I pray, through your Holy Spirit, that I will have a message for each and every one. Guide us safely, and may we feel your presence here with us. We ask in your loving name. Amen. More than 2,000 years have passed since Jesus asked his followers to take the gospel to the world. When this was done, he said in Matthew 24:14, the end will come. This truth which Jesus came to live and reveal was not to be guarded as a secret known by only a few. It was to go to all the peoples of the world. Gospel, my friends, means good news, and I think we all like good news, don't we? It was to be public and made known to all mankind. Jesus asked that it be given the widest possible circulation to the uttermost parts of the earth, we're told in Acts 1:8, and in Matthew 28:19, to all nations, and in Mark 16:15, to the whole creation. The small Christian band of Christian believers set out confidently to fulfil the immense assignment. They expected to complete it in a very short time. Had not Jesus told them that he would be back soon? Had he not warned them to be constantly on watch lest they be unprepared for his return and he catch them by surprise? But years passed by and still the Lord had not returned. Now only John was left of the original 12 apostles, and he was imprisoned on the lonely isle of Patmos. Had something gone wrong? The good news had been well received by many, but it had also provoked serious and sometimes violent opposition. At this critical point in time, God chose to send another message of encouragement to John, who was elderly and still a prisoner on Patmos. Information recorded in the last book of the New Testament, which John described in Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to show his servants things which must shortly come to pass. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 to 9. In Revelation chapter 12, and I'm reading verses 7 to 9, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was found a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. We find here in Revelation 12, mention is made of the war long ago fought in heaven, and the extent of Satan's influence among the angels. Revelation 13, my friend, when you get time to read it sometimes, tells of Satan's last attempt by means of deception, signs, miracles, and forced to silence the truth and establish himself as God. So severe will be the test, the struggle and the test, that John interrupts his description in Revelation 13:10. Just over the page. It says, "He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints." Yes, John interrupts here to say this calls for endurance and faith on the part of God's faithful people. My friends, when we look back in the days of Daniel, Daniel and his three friends were faithful no matter what happened. Are we going to be the same? In Revelation 14, John goes on to describe God's faithful people still resisting Satan's lies right up until the end. In Revelation 14:5 it says, "And in their mouth, God's faithful ones, was found no guile, or lies or hypocrisy, for they are without fault before the throne of God." My friends, we want to be in that group. John 14:15 says, Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And this means all 10 of them, my friends, and many other commands. A lot of people think God just gave 10 commands, but when you read his word, he gave many more commands. And two come to my mind at the moment is communion. God says, "This do until I come to take you home." That's a command, my friends. And also with tithes and offerings, God says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse of God." That's a command, and there are many more commands. My friends, this old world is fast coming to an end. Read Matthew 24 sometimes and compare it with what is going on in the world today. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 3. And I'm reading verses 14 to 22. Revelation 3, verses 14 to 22. "And to the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because you say I'm rich and become wealthy and have need of nothing and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." In these verses, my friends, it speaks of the Laodicean church, a lukewarm church, which I believe is where we are at today. Are we allowing the enemy of God to win by default? God is waiting for us to intensify efforts and to complete the original commission to spread the truth to every corner of the earth so he can return. The Laodicean message is applicable to the church at this time. Do you believe this message? Have you hearts that feel for others' salvation? Or you're just concerned for your own? The Laodicean message, my friends, applies to all who profess to keep the law of God and yet are not doers of it. Every phase of the Christian life is to be a representation of the life of Christ. If not, we will hear the words, "I know you not," a solemn thought. If you and myself have any regard for our own souls and the souls of those lost in sin, we will need to empty our hearts of self and ask the Holy Spirit to prepare us in a Christ-likeness through the words of God and act upon them. We as the remnant church for these last days are supposed to be his chosen representatives, to take to those in our neighbourhood and to all who have no hope and are dying without a knowledge of Christ and their coming King. We are to bear to the world the three angels' messages of Revelation 14 to proclaim the message of salvation to those who are standing on the brink of ruin. God is waiting for you and myself to pray, believe and work to save souls that are ready to perish. In symbolic language, of the book of Revelation, the aging apostle John writes, "I've seen the last great effort to spread the gospel as represented by three angels bringing urgent messages from heaven." Let's turn to Revelation 14. I'm reading verses 6 and 7. "And I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, 'Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made the heaven and earth, the sea, and the springs of water.'" This first angel, my friend, is an angel of mercy. This angel proclaims an eternal gospel or message. It is a simple, unchanging urgency to mankind to give loyalty to God who made us. God has not made his demands one bit more strict than the first time he explained them to Adam and Eve. God has commissioned this angel to represent the simple request to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. That means everyone, my friends. Every last person is to receive the last message to repent and fear or respect God. Respect and worship God, the God who made everything, is our instruction from this first angel. The everlasting gospel, if it is not something new or strange, not something man has invented. The everlasting gospel, the message of salvation for you and I through faith in the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. This message sounds forth the glorious news that men and women are saved by grace. This gospel must proclaim special messages for the last days to meet the last day events. Revelation 14:7. The statement "has come" is very significant. It indicates arrival, not something to occur in the future, but something that has actually taken place. It refers to the judgment, my friends. Keep your finger in Revelation, but I'm going to turn to Acts chapter 24. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts chapter 24. And here we find Paul talking to Felix. And I'm reading verse 25, and it's talking about Felix. "Now has he reason..." Acts 24, verse 25. "Now has he reason about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, 'Go away for now, when I have a convenient time, I will call for you.'" Yes, my friends, Felix put it off. He was reasoning about self-control, righteousness, and the judgment to come. And Felix put it off, and it was too late then. I hope today that you and I are not putting it off. Paul did not preach God's last day message, for he spoke of judgment to come. In Paul's day, the judgment was future. We find that in Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, and I'm reading verses 5 and 6. "But in accordance with your hardness and your impertinent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judge of God, who will render to each according to his deeds." The last day message will herald the fact that God's judgment hour has come. This last message must commence when judgment commences. And in the study of the 2300-day history prophecy, Daniel clearly shows in Daniel 9 that the judgment commenced in 1844. The last day message of the three angels to proclaim after 1844. Also in Revelation 14:7 is a call to return to the worship of the Creator. It's interesting to note, my friends, the similarity in the wording to the fourth commandment concerning God's creatorship, found in Genesis 20:11. The first angel's message is a message of mercy for all mankind, an appeal to worship God and God only. Let's turn back to Revelation chapter 14. Revelation 14 verse 8. And another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, the great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. We find another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, the great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The second angel points to those who have responded to their own situation. Men's hearts are indeed failing them for fear today, but part of the fear is that the good life, the life of self-indulgent ease and religious indifference, may be taken from them. Babylon is, in biblical history, was a great and luxurious city. Babylon was the breeding ground of pride and godlessness. This is why the angel of Revelation compares our society to Babylon today. Babylon, however, is fallen, according to God's messenger, fallen, firstly in moral and religious sense, and about to fall into utter destruction and defeat. Babylon took its name from the first confederacy of men who opposed God. They set themselves to build a tower, you'll find back in Genesis 11, which would challenge the God who had recently purged the earth with water, and God had to stop them. The result, however, was confusion, and Babylon means confusion, my friends, and the meaning of the second angel becomes more clear. Babylon, the social and religious confusion of mankind that exalts itself above God, is fallen. She has lost Christian qualities today. The implied message is to come out of Babylon, forsake her, because you cannot worship the Creator in the midst of an apostate order of things that is opposed to God's will. In the Old Testament, Babylon was a nation that oppressed the people of God, and in fact had a system of worship that was counterfeit to the worship of the God. In Revelation, John takes the term Babylon and uses it to describe the false worship in the religious world, and in particular that system which declares itself to be superior to the Word of God and alters God's laws to fit its needs. And we'll find that in Revelation chapter 18, just over a page. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, has become the habitation of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. The merchants of the earth have become rich through their abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues, for her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. The same message that proclaims the fall of Babylon calls men and women to come out, to come away from all false worship, and to return to the great truths of the Bible, truths held by Christ and the apostles. A call back to the Bible and the Bible only, my friends, as a sure foundation of faith and practice. Turn back to Revelation 14. And I'm reading 9 to 11. Then the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If anyone worships the beast and his image, and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. Smoke of their torment ascends for ever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast in his image, who receives the mark of his name. A third angel followed the first two. In the most vivid language, the angel warns of the terrible consequences of believing Satan's lies and joining him in rebellion against God. And then again, there is a call for endurance on the part of God's people, those who obey God's commandments and are faithful to Jesus. And we find that in Revelation 14:12, it says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." The key to remembering the Creator God is a life that is guided by his commandments, his rule of judgment, which we will be judged by. Our characters must also, my friends, have all the fruits of the Spirit. And they are found, if you'd like to know, in Galatians 5. We will turn to them. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such is no law." And they were told, if we got all these, there's no law against it. And we need these fruits of the Spirit in our lives to have a Christ-like character before we are taken to heaven. God's revealed word, the Bible, is the key to recognizing the terrible errors of Babylon and the untangling of her confused and mixed-up religio-paganism. A firm knowledge of God's sure word is our only help and a living faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ, only. This will help us resist the coercion and intimidation of a false system which demands their allegiance, or our allegiance in time to come. Jesus is the vital key, my friends, to our salvation and escape from this present Babylon, this world of sin. Remember, it is his return to this earth that will sweep away this false system, and God has warned us against worshipping a false system and receiving of its mark. God's last message will proclaim his fearful judgments on those who refuse to heed his message and cast in their lot with the apostate religion. God is calling all his people from all churches today to accept the truth and forsake all false teachings. And my friends, God has many faithful people in other denominations which he will call out before he comes. Three angels are presenting the final appeal to return to God before probation closes, giving us instruction in his word on how to avoid sin's death throes. As Christians and as Christ's representatives, have you completely committed yourself to Christ, to his word, and the faith in Jesus and his power to save you? My friends, we have the added responsibility of sounding the three angels' message to a dying world. Or do you want to hear the words, "I'm lost because those who had the truth did not tell me"? God cannot allow evil to rule our earth forever. He knows that evil is self-destructive since it is only concerned with self. My friends, the time of test is just upon us. For the loud cry of the third angel has already begun in the revelation of the righteousness of Christ, the sin-pardoning Redeemer. This is the beginning of the light of the angel whose glory shall fill the whole earth. Jesus spelled out the signs that would herald the nearness of his coming, and mankind is fearful indeed. The earth and its inhabitants are in turmoil today. The angels warn of the terrible darkness of false worship is soon to envelop our world, but it will never extinguish those who hold on to God's word and his truth, my friends. John 1:5 says, "And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Revelation 14:12 says, "Here is the contrast between those who serve God and those who worship the false system. The genuine faith of Jesus, of his followers, leads to obedience to all the commandments of God," my friends. God's last message will include the teachings of Jesus, and it will be proclaimed by those who love their Lord and have based their faith on his teachings outlined in the Bible. And I hope, my friends, and pray that is every one of us. And I hope it will emphasize the commandments of God. Thus we have the picture of God's final call to mankind before the Lord Jesus returns. It's a message to be carried to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, to prepare men and women for the coming of Jesus Christ. It is to be sounded with a loud voice, proclaiming the everlasting gospel, reminding men and women that the hour of God's judgment has arrived, calling them back to the worship of the Creator by observing his true Sabbath, telling of the downfall of Babylon, the great false religious system set up by the adversary of Christ, warning men and women against the worship of the false system. His image and his mark is our duty. It calls out a people who will keep God's commandments and the faith of Jesus. This is God's final call, my friends, in this third angel message to all mankind, his last message to the human race. This message is being taken to the world today, not by another church, by a movement raised up by God, just as surely as were Noah and John the Baptist. This message rises above sectarianism. It transcends the barriers of denominationalism. It is God's great warning message to help men and women get ready to meet Jesus when he comes. May the Lord Jesus guide us and you, each one of us, into all truth today, and when you find it, cherish it, my friends. Buy the truth and sell it not, we're told in Proverbs. He which testifies as these things says, "Surely I come quickly." Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Father in heaven, we just thank you for your word again. We thank you for your blessings. And dear Father, we've just sang, we'll be what you want us to be. We'll go where you want us to go. Father, it may be just down the street through the week, where we can say hello, where we can smile, where we can be Christ-like in all our words and actions, that people may see a difference in the way we live, the way we talk, and the way we act. Father, help us to be true representatives of thee. As the word Christian says, is to be Christ-like. We call ourselves Christians, we need to be truly Christ-like in all our daily walk. Guide us now as we go through the rest of this Sabbath day. We thank you and praise you for Jesus, who so willingly came and died in our place on Calvary. Bless us now, we ask, as we depart from this house of worship. We ask in your loving name. Amen.